All right, everybody. Instant reaction time on a Thursday afternoon. Full boat here. Josh Calloway, Colin Kendi, Tom Green here with you. The never-ending saga is over. Owen Heineke back at Oklahoma. The judge ruled in his favor. Judge Bachman down there in Norman. The preliminary injunction, Owen Heineke got it. It was a full day down there in Norman on Thursday. Tom was there. We'll go to you first. Obviously, Tom, you were down there. You were there. You watched Brent Venables testify and Jim Nagy and obviously Owen himself. But this never-ending saga, right, that stretched all the way back to back during the season, back before the playoff game when Owen was talking about hoping he would get another year. He obviously did not get it. It looked like it was over. They decided to take legal action. And now, lo and behold, the judge ruled in his favor. Tom, just what stuck out to you, whether it was Owen's case today, the case the NCAA posed back at him? We'll start off with you first. It's just obviously you were there all day, but obviously a massive win for Owen. And we'll talk about the impact for Oklahoma on the field and all that in a second. But just what a day. What a day. And what a it felt like watching from afar. It was like a movie or something. Get into it. It seemed like it was – I wish I could watch it. I was almost kind of regretting that I didn't go. It sounded like it was quite a day down there.
Like watching a prestige TV procedural all day. Yeah, I mean, it started at 8:30 and it was a bit of a marathon of a day.
Yeah.
I think a couple things that really stood out to me, and I'll preface this by saying I'm no legal expert, even though I grew up with my mom as a lawyer. But I'm not a lawyer, I'm not a judge. But the things that stood out to me is that I found the case presented by Owen's legal counsel, which was headed by Mary Quinn Cooper, to be very compelling on two particular fronts. One, I thought they laid out very succinctly and thoroughly the argument that because of COVID, yeah, Owen's high school recruitment was negatively impacted. You're talking about a guy who broke out as a junior at Bishop Kelly and then was really a star for them as a senior, but that senior year, college coaches couldn't come to campus. Guys couldn't see him in person and get that evaluation to just verify traits and see what he looks like in person, which, Jim Nagy said is, you can't trade off a in-person evaluation for anything. Like, that is mm-hmm. the most important thing when it comes to scouting. And because of that, Owen didn't have many real opportunities. He had some D2 scholarship opportunities and he had some interest from service academies. And he said, that's very, going the service academy route is very honorable. You're doing that for more than football at that point.
Sure.
You're committing years of your life to the military after the fact. And that's not something that he, felt was his calling that he wanted to pursue. With all due respect to Division II, it's not the same as playing at the Division I level. So he took the opportunity to play lacrosse at Ohio State for a year, thinking that he'd have a chance to walk on to the football team. He'd had conversations with Ohio State's safeties coach. I believe it's Matt Guerrieri, who was previously the safeties coach at Duke, which was a school that was recruiting him, or at least showing interest in him, even though they couldn't really recruit him out of high school. Mm-hmm. But Ohio State wound up not taking any walk-ons that year, so Owen decided to transfer to Oklahoma and walk on there. And I think he's shown that he is a not only a Division I FBS caliber player, but he is a Power 4 caliber player when given the opportunity. So I think they laid out that argument very well, and Judge Thad Bachman agreed with that in his ruling. But the other thing that I think really turned this case from almost a coin flip to really tilting it in Owen's favor was this. They referred to it as a Providence waiver, referring to a women's basketball player at Providence. I don't want to butcher her name, but I think Nalani Lied, I believe, is it? Her last name is now Kasia, but for this reference, it was Lied. She started her career at Charlotte, where she was supposed to play volleyball and basketball, but because of COVID, those two seasons coincided, and she was not given the opportunity to play basketball. She only played volleyball. And that ruling was made back in October that she was granted an additional year of eligibility, but it was not in the NCAA's reference system. And so Owen and Oklahoma and his counsel did not know about this until like a week ago. So when they found it, they thought that not only was this a very similar case, but it was tacitly, identical. And that was part of their argument. They cited the same bylaw And the same NCAA bylaw 12.6.171 in their waivers. And, you know, they felt that it was, for lack of better words, a little shady that that ruling wasn't in the reference system for them to go after. And, you know, I thought the most compelling testimony of the day came from Brady Newell, the OU's compliance director, who really, you know, laid it out that, hey, like, if we knew about this and we'd been able to like fully research this case, we feel like we would have had a more compelling initial waiver claim for Owen back in December. Because again, this was a ruling that happened 2 months before Owen's additional waiver claim or initial waiver claim. And it's something they didn't find out about until 6 months later, you know, 2 weeks before the NFL draft. So I think those two things in particular just really stood out to me in the way that Owen's legal counsel presented their case to the judge today.
You muted, Colin?
My fault. Building off of that, you mentioned shady. I mean, when this – it felt like the scale started tipping whenever OU's compliance officer is essentially saying the NCAA may or may not have hid that as a point of evidence to contribute to this case. Yeah. And when that gets out there and as the case is going on and the NCAA is asking a ton of hypothetical questions, which can be countered by any number of other hypotheticals – I'm not like Tom. I don't have anyone in the law system in my family. I am also not a smart human being sometimes, and I don't have any resemblance of a law degree, but this kind of felt like a landslide towards the end. Sure. It just felt like as time went on, you could clearly see which group was more prepared, had a lot more evidence at the ready, and just had a stronger case in general. And I think it really did help, too, that in Owen's case, there's no denying the gain for a student athlete at the end result, right? I throughout, the common messaging was, if this does not happen, it is going to damage his long-term athletic career. And if we really are about the student athlete at this level, then this had to get done the right way. And so it felt like as time went on to what Tom was talking about, just did not feel like the NCAA could match what Owen's group brought to the table. And in the end, I'm on a human level, extremely excited for the individual because few are more deserving than this guy who's going to, as you know, make the most of his opportunity.
Yeah, no, I agree with everything you guys just said. I mean, to tie together both of what you guys are getting at, just for me, the level of preparedness from Owen and his team and Brent Venables and Jim Nagy, who both testified on his behalf, it just felt like they were ready for everything, which is what you want. I mean, that's what you have to be because these lawyers are good, right? And the NCAA brought out as good of a team on the opposite side as they really could have to try and win this case in their favor. Oklahoma was just ready. Owen was just ready, I should say. And Brent and Jim Nagy and you know, obviously Owen's legal team, I was very impressed. And, you know, I feel like as we've talked about this over the last several months, because, again, it's gone back to when we really started to be on our radar back in December, back when he was trying to get the waiver and all that at the start of this thing, was Tom brought up the COVID aspect and how it affected his high school recruiting. That was not an aspect that we had talked about probably enough. A lot more was focused on the lacrosse and the 15 minutes and he wanted to walk on. But, like, that was very smart, and that was a compelling argument, and it clearly made a difference. And so just, Owen, his team, Jim Nagy, Brent Venables, however Roger Danny and OU was able to help legally. I know, like, you know, they could be overly involved, but they gave it their best swing. And like Colin said, I don't know, I'm not a lawyer, but it felt like watching from afar and seeing the two cases presented, It felt pretty clear the way it was going to go. We were all pretty confident he was going to get it. You never know until it happens, but they crushed it. They absolutely crushed it, and they got him that year. So, well done.
I just was going to say, too, Tom, kicking it to you, to Josh's point, another individual who I thought really shaped this case, you will be able to help me on this, Tom, J.J. Tapana, former or current Bishop Kelly High School head coach, to what you're talking about, guys, like, the COVID aspect, his ability to vocalize the impact that that had on Owen and his recruiting process. And when the NCAA challenged him, his effectiveness challenging the NCAA right back I mean, there were some quotes coming out from JJ that I thought, man, he really has provided a layer to this argument that just you no one else would be able to provide. I thought everyone that Josh mentioned, but JJ as well, he was arguably one of the most defining cases that came to the table today.
Yeah, I thought it was really interesting when, you know, he was, you know, going through cross-examination from the NCAA League Council, and, you know, they were talking about, you know, the recruitment thing wasn't specific to Owen because it was an entire high school class that was dealing with COVID. Mm-hmm. To which, you know, JJ Tapana was like, yeah, but when the NCAA is giving a blanket waiver to every athlete who was already at the NCAA level then, and guys are returning for an additional year that you might not have otherwise had, it shrinks the number of opportunities for the kids coming up through high school. And I thought that was a really sharp point that he made there, that it's like, hey, it's even though the NCAA is not having governance over these high school kids, their decision to give that blanket waiver of eligibility is impacting, you know, downstream to these guys. And, you know, it was just really interesting that, you know, he reiterated, like, no college coaches could come to campus to see Owen, but he had a lacrosse scholarship opportunity because lacrosse was a club sport. So it wasn't beholden to the same recruiting restrictions that, you know, football and basketball and all these other sports were. And, you know, funny quote that I jotted down from JJ Tapana was, you know, most of those kids who didn't get recruited probably went and joined a frat and did keg stands, but Owen decided to climb the mountain and he, you know, took things into his own hands and did it the hard way, and it paid off for him. So I was impressed with his testimony. I was particularly impressed with Brent Venables' testimony just because it was maybe the most concise I've ever heard him speak. You know, no filibustering or anything. He was, you know, that is elite coaching and elite preparation from Owen's counsel, to just, you know, keep him on message and to the point. And I thought, you know, it was telling that, you know, they brought five witnesses to the stand and the NCAA didn't call any witnesses of its own, didn't have anybody there to kind of explain the lied decision after it, you know, got brought up in the last week or so. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it just felt like everything was going in Owen's favor throughout this day.
Speaking of the quotes, by the way, Tom, maybe you have it as well, but from JJ Tapana, when the NCAA said something about what you were discussing, and I believe that their questioning was, well, should you be someone who's consulted about these issues? And his response was, should you be consulted for these?
Yeah.
That felt like a, oh, I mean, this is getting a little spicy. Yeah. And again, that felt like a turning point in this hearing.
Make a movie. I'll watch it. It's just incredible. I mean, they all just did so well. It kind of goes without saying, and not that you would ever expect differently, but just the fact that Brent and Jim Nagy even went and did this and were so prepared, clearly, you know, to just kind of swat away. And Brent talking about how he believes he can win a Butkus and what it would do to his draft stock. Jim Nagy got into that, and would it affect a current player to have him come back? And they were ready. They were ready for all that. They fielded it all really well. They didn't bite on any. It didn't feel like any of the big points or arguments that the NCAA tried to make ever really landed. That's just how it seemed, at least, you know, from afar. So, Tom, let me ask you this, and we'll get into the impact, obviously, for Oklahoma, the team, because I feel like it almost has gotten lost in the shuffle a little bit, that Owen Heineke is good, and it's going to help Oklahoma a lot on the field. But real quick, the legal side. Like we said, Tom, you're not a legal expert. We're kind of making you our legal expert, but we acknowledge that you're not. Is this over? Because I know there's the wrinkle of, like, could they appeal the decision? Like, what's your understanding of that? Is this done, or is there still a little meat on the bone? Just as best you can answer that question, because I think that's an obvious that everyone is wondering, like, is this done? Is he going to play this year for sure, or is there still one more hurdle, however you want to term that?
So I assume the NCAA can still appeal this decision to an upper court, a higher court.
Yeah.
But until, at least from my understanding, is until a different, you know, a ruling is made otherwise, the lower court decision stands. So Owen Heineke is eligible until ruled ineligible by somebody. So will this drag on further at all? Who's to say at this point? But right now, I mean, today it's just a big win for Oklahoma.
No doubt about it. And on that note, let's get into it. The on the field part of it, we've talked about at length. It's been one of the big storylines for this team throughout spring camp. Linebacker is thin. I mean, you have Kip Lewis coming back, obviously, which is huge. And you added Cole Sullivan, who everyone's very pumped up about coming in from Michigan. But he is new. He does have to learn the defense. And then after that, it's a bunch of young guys. You just lost Taylor Heim recently for what is believed to be an extended period. It's James Nesta. It's Marcus James. It's freshman guys. I mean, it's a young group that has not played very much at all. And now you go throw an Owen Heineke in there who's been around, is coming off a great season, has an NFL future ahead of him. Get into that part, guys. I mean, because, again, I joked about it a second ago, but I do feel like in all this conversation about, you know, trying to get Owen the year and how he's being run, how everyone's rooting for the guy, he's just a good player. Like, he just helps Oklahoma a lot on the field. It's not the difference between winning a national title and not, probably, but like, this does make you feel a lot better about Oklahoma on the field this season, does it not? I mean, it has to.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, when you factor in everything from, you know, the end of the playoff, you know, when they lost the playoff till today.
Yeah.
It's one of the biggest victories for Oklahoma just from a personnel standpoint right now. You know, we talked about just the questions of that linebacker depth coming into spring, especially, you know, behind Kip Lewis and Cole Sullivan. And now you have your top three linebackers. Like, you have your, mm-hmm. you know, Kip, Kobe, and Sammy from a year ago. You know, I thought it was really interesting when Jim Nagy was on the stand. You know, part of the NCAA's argument was, you know, wouldn't granting Owen another year take away an opportunity from another player on the roster? Mm-hmm. To which first Brent Venable said, well, we rotate six linebackers anyway. And you look at how Oklahoma played guys last year. They had four guys, I believe, that played at least 300 snaps at linebacker. Yeah. And then, you know, Jim Nagy gave a little, you know, depth chart nugget, so to speak, when he was cross-examined by the NCAA. It's like, okay, right now Kip and Cole have been taking your first team reps at linebacker this spring, to which the NCAA counsel was like, okay, so would Owen's return detract from Cole's playing time? And Jim was like, not necessarily. We could play all three at the same time and move Cole to a different position, which, you know, I know Colin has spoken about this some in the offseason, but he could play some cheetah if they needed mm-hmm. to. Especially now that Taylor Heim is out, they don't have a big cheetah. Cole Sullivan is that big cheetah now. Obviously, you still have Reggie Powers as like the guy there, but to have that optionality, we heard Wes Goodwin talk about it last spring about just what it, you know, the benefits of having those different body types at that position are huge. And now being able to move Cole Sullivan over there when necessary and bring back, you know, your top two leading tacklers from last season in Kip and Owen, and a guy that Brent Venables said can be an All-American this year, can be a Butkus candidate this year.
Sure.
It's huge for Oklahoma's defense.
A lot of what I would mention on this front is exactly what Tom discussed. And it's worth reiterating too, Josh, to what you're talking about. Is it getting lost in the mix just how good of a player we're talking about? Venables said this is someone who could be a Butkus Award winner, but also a team captain.
Yeah.
The top linebackers on the team, a leader in the locker room, someone who makes an impact on and off the field, and has a shot at being one of the best linebackers in all of college football. And then on top of that, I believe part of the discussions in court was, well, at this time, Owen Heineke's probably a fifth to sixth round selection, I believe is what Nagy said. And, mm-hmm. and with this opportunity to go and play, we're talking about a completely different ballpark with another year at Oklahoma mm-hmm. and him. And Venable said he's only scratching the surface of his potential. That's absolutely correct. But Owen's floor at this time is as high as anybody. And then, contrary to popular belief, at least in the NCAA's case, you can play multiple linebackers on the field, which is shocking. But like Tom mentioned, one of my big things this offseason has been how much Oklahoma is hammering home cross-training these second-level defenders. They want all of these guys to go out on the field and be able to play multiple positions, whether that is a Cole Sullivan who could go onto the field with the Owen Heinekes and the Kip Lewises, a James Nesta, a Reggie Powers. Taylor Heim had been working at both linebacker and cheetah before going down to injury. And I think that's not only where you start, the potential for Owen now freeing up a Cole Sullivan, and whether they want to do kind of the Kobe McKenzie, Kip Lewis, yeah. Owen Heineke rotation they had last year and just replace that with a Cole Sullivan or play all of these guys in different positions. The last thing I would say, though, because, Josh, you mentioned it earlier, and this is the other thing you really got to hammer home with this decision, is the depth. I mean, we are legitimately being asked, does Oklahoma go out and try to find another linebacker with this subtle quasi-portal window that's going on behind the scenes as other Power 4 programs backfill depth? And OU was never going to do that until they knew what Owen Heineke's situation was going to be. With this now finalized, at least at this current time, what was potentially a concern depth-wise, totally different in terms of the outlook of the position group, and it gives OU a lot of flexibility. Flexibility it didn't have, certainly welcome for the Sooners.
Definitely significant, and the idea of Cole Sullivan playing some cheetah is very tantalizing. I mean, we've talked about it since we've gotten to see him in person, how well he moves and how big he is and how long he is. It would seem like he could very well serve that Kendall Daniels role if you need him to go with Reggie Powers like Tom was talking about. So that would be huge. And, yeah, it just takes so much weight and pressure off the shoulders of, in particular, James Nesta. I think he's the one who we've circled the most of, like, all right, dude, just go out and play a bunch of snaps and be really good this year. They're still going to use him. He's still going to play. But there's not nearly just as much, just like I said, pressure and weight on him as there would have been otherwise. So huge deal for Oklahoma to get him back. And it's, again, hard not to feel significantly better about the defense and the linebacker room, because that was really the question. One of the bigger roster questions is just the linebacker depth. And you just went and plugged in a guy who was really good for you last year. So, and just a great win for Oklahoma there.
And also, not to be lost in this, is like, he was your Mike linebacker. He was the green guy when he was on the field.
Yeah.
So he was, getting everybody set pre-snap. He knows the communication. It's part of why, we've seen him out there at spring practices. And even though he hasn't been on the field, a lot of these other guys, the younger guys, the new guys, have been just going over to him and, kind of picking his mind and making sure that they have everything down right. So there's, a level of leadership, a level of trust, a level of communication that all comes with, obviously the on-field tangible skill set too.
Yeah. And I'll build off of Tom's note. Within the rules, and this has been discussed by Brent and others, we have been told that Owen, in preparation for this decision, has been taking as many mental reps as possible and has been studying thoroughly and preparing for the opportunity to get this extra year, this ability to go and play. So for anyone wondering where he's going to be behind the scenes, he has been acting as if he is going to go potentially even suit up this weekend at the spring game. I don't know if that happens, but on top of everything that's gone on, Owen has been doing his homework as far as the field. And so, man, think about a linebacker group of Owen Heineke as your middle linebacker, Green Dot, maybe a Kip Lewis as your Will, and a Cole Sullivan as like your old school Sam. And there's a lot of fluidity to this, but what a group that Oklahoma is suddenly entering the 26th season with, and on the heels of a really emotional decision too.
For sure. No, it's a great point to hammer home in that Owen has – he's been around. It's not like, the season ended and he's been gone, and now it's like, oh, he gets to come back. He's been around. I mean, the guy, he's been – well, like Colin said, within the rules, he can't practice, but he's still been very involved. I mean, the best point to that is Cole Sullivan, a week or two ago, was asked about Owen, and he talked about him like he knew him really well. Like, they have a relationship, and obviously there's no overlap in terms of the team there. That just goes to show you that Owen has been around and helping, and now he gets to put the uniform on again. Probably not on Saturday in the spring game. That'd be cool. Get a heck of a crowd pop. Maybe he will. What do I know? But, great deal for Oklahoma and for Owen, obviously. Any final thoughts on this? And I'll just throw out there at the end here, just good for Owen, man. Again, just like, this was – so many dudes get 7, 8, even like extreme cases, 9 years – and that probably don't really deserve it. And Owen definitely did deserve it. Like, this was the right, like, just, I mean, you know, not just looking at it objectively for the guy, like, it was, kind of a stupid situation, frankly, that he had fallen himself in to not have another year. And the fact that he got it is good for him. And he's an Oklahoma kid, wanted to play at OU. He's at OU legacy. Like, it's really cool that he gets to play what's going to be a huge role on this year's team that has obviously very high aspirations. Like, it's just, good for him. You know, good for him, man. Good for his family. It's hard not to just feel happy for him. Like, it's just it's a good deal.
Yeah, you touched on it there. You see a lot of these guys that are getting 6, 7, 8, 9 years, whatever. Yeah. They've kind of bounced around a lot in their career. And while Owen obviously started his college career at Ohio State, you know, he's been at Oklahoma and worked his way up over these last several years. And there was a moment in court today where, you know, his counsel kind of put up a little slideshow as he took the stand and went through photos of him as a kid, you know, playing youth league football, you know, wearing Oklahoma gear, you know, at the Fiesta Bowl with his dad, which was a Christmas present, you know, family mm-hmm. photos of them all wearing OU stuff. So it's clear like this means something to him. And he spoke about, you know, like, money isn't the thing that's driving him here. You know, he didn't really get any NIL money last year. It was scholarship stuff, but he cares about leaving a legacy at Oklahoma and the chance to probably be a team captain, to be in contention for, you know, all SEC, maybe all America honors, you know, be in the discussion for the butt kiss and help lead a defense that should once again be one of the better units in the country with a chance to make another run at the playoffs. That means something to him. And so like you said, from the human perspective, like you got to feel good for the kid.
Sure.
I'll have a sentimental note and then I'll get us out of here on a little bit of a humorous note to lighten the mood. I will say this. There are so many other cases across college football, college basketball, whatever the case may be, where I personally am for these players with finite careers getting the opportunity to extend it within reason. I want these individuals to have the chance to play the game that they've dedicated their lives to as long as is within reason. And with all these different cases, you can throw out so many different examples. A lot of them are deserving, but it is hard with all of that in mind to deny the fact that Owen is as deserving as anybody. And then you meet this individual, and I think anyone who talks to Owen one-on-one would know and understand he's a human being who absolutely deserves this opportunity. And anything besides that would have been unjust. I'm incredibly happy for him. And I'll get out of here on this. In my mind, you have one of two things you could do here. Either Owen Heineke is leading the team out of the tunnel on Saturday in the spring game, let him run out of the smoke, or let's bring the team out first and keep the smoke still going, and maybe we get like a Ray Lewis-style entrance. Maybe let him hit a little something. The numbers would go wild on social media.
Have him come out at halftime like 50 Cent did at the playoff.
Oh, God. Maybe.
I'm just saying, like, maybe. Little mini men and, you know, get out of the tunnel. Like,
I was thinking give him the mic or something. I could see it. Yeah, I mean, you got to do something. And hopefully maybe, you know, OU's usually pretty good about handling these things. We'll see what they cook up for Saturday. If they've had – they probably already had things in mind, I'm sure. But – wild thing. I mean, this is I you know, I've never really covered anything like this the last 5 months, and just we thought it was over a couple times, then it wasn't, and now here we go. He's going to play this season. Pretty crazy. So been a wild and winding road, but it ended in the right place. I think we all agree that Owen's going to have another season, and he'll play a big role, probably be a captain, like you guys said. So good stuff for Owen, obviously. Obviously, we'll talk about it more over the course of the offseason, obviously, but a great win for Owen there. We bumped the podcast, the regular show, back because we just didn't know when this was going to happen. Like, let's just wait. And so Colin and I will have the normal show tomorrow. We can maybe do a little cleanup here if there's anything left that we didn't touch on. But we'll mainly hit recruiting stuff, spring game weekend. Obviously, a lot of visitors coming in. We'll get into all that tomorrow. And the spring game is Saturday. All three of us will be there, full coverage all day from Norman on Saturday. So keep an eye out for that as well. That's it for now. Owen Heineke back. For Tom Green, Colin Kennedy, I'm Josh Callaway. We'll see you guys next time right back here, as always, on Sooners Illustrated.
Time to go take a nap.
Well deserved.